Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, May 22nd, 8:26 Central Time. It is time to study the daily lectionary. Joining us by phone today, Director of Broadcast Services for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Reverend Rod Zwanitzer. Good morning, Pastor Zwanitzer. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Andy. How about you?
I'm doing well, thanks. It is time to get into Luke chapter 12, the end of chapter 12. We're wrapping up that chapter and jumping into Luke chapter 13 this morning. I'll read the text for us, and then we'll dig in. Luke chapter 12, verse 54. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" So here Jesus is talking to the crowds about they know how to interpret the things of the environment, the weather, but they don't know how to interpret the present time. What is Jesus getting at here with the crowds?
Well, I think it goes all the way back, Andy, to probably the context of this entire chapter 12, back at the end of chapter 11, where it says the scribes and Pharisees pressed him hard to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. And in the meantime, when so many thousands gathered together, they were trampling one another. He began to speak all these things. And so, it's kind of like our day where the Lord does many things and he relates it all to his word. It all hangs together. It's all one big unity of law and gospel and primarily forgiveness of sins. And so he's mocking these challengers to him who periodically, as you know, in chapter 12, challenge him on various items, and so he's saying you know how to interpret, they're almost meteorologists, as mm-hmm. a lot of us kind of do. We see certain cloud formations forming away in the normal direction that storms come from. For us, it would be primarily like the west, but for this group around the Mediterranean, They knew that the rain came from over the Mediterranean Sea from the west, but the strong southern winds were just probably pounding with heat. And so he says, how do you not know then how to interpret what I'm doing and saying among you? And as we said, it's so prevalent even today where people can't discern what God's doing, and likely as these Pharisees and scribes, they war against him, they oppose everything he does and say, they twist it, they turn it, they don't get the heart of it.
They get the environmental things, they just don't get the present time. This present time, what does he mean by this present time?
Well, what I would say is that, it's the time of the Christ. It's the time of the Messiah. Jesus was very prone to say things like the kingdom of God is near you. It's come upon you. Its reign has begun. So this is all about Jesus coming to this planet and beginning his messianic rule from his baptism, where he assumes the office of the Messiah, the Christ, all the way till he returns. And so that's the present time, is this rule, this gracious rule of God that comes in Jesus Christ.
Very good. Well, we'll press on here to verse 57 in a little bit. We've got Pastor Mum from Concordia Lutheran Church in, I believe it's Machaney Park or Machaney Park. Good morning, Park. Pastor Mum.
Good morning.
Now, I want to make sure that we get it correct. Is it Machaney Park or Machaney Park?
McChesney.
I was way off.
That's all right.
Well, good morning, Pastor Mum. Thanks for joining us this morning to study the daily lectionary.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, we're glad you're with us. We're in Luke chapter 12 this morning, verses 54 through chapter 13, verse 17. And we were just getting into that first paragraph where Jesus is talking with the crowds and says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. When you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And we were just talking with Reverend Zwanitzer about this text. Any points that you'd like to make about this first paragraph?
Well, I think as you look at not just that one, but the five paragraphs, Jesus does a rather interesting thing in terms of how he's trying to get through to these people, trying. And that's always been an impressive thing to me, that he never gave up, even on the Pharisees or anyone else, that, you know, he starts out here with a simple illustration. He's going to take it into a little more of a mental game. You know, this one's pretty obvious. You don't have to be smart to figure out if there's clouds, it's going to rain. You know, but as you get in, and then he comes back to the very obvious at the end when he heals the woman. You know, this is obviously God at work. Come on, guys, wake up.
This is God at work, yet you are blind and don't know how to interpret it. You don't know
how to
see it. All right, next, shall we go on to the next paragraph, gentlemen?
Sure.
Let me back out at this moment, and blessings on your two and your study of this text.
All right, thank you, Reverend Zwanitzer. Have a good day.
Blessings to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, so on to verse 57. And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Wow. Is this advice for how to get out of a ticket?
It's a little bit, you know, it's advice for how to live.
How to live. All right. So why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer et cetera.
It starts with, why don't you correct things before you get to the point where it has to go to a judge, or that it does go to someone in the legal system. And Jesus at other times advises, avoid the legal system in terms of, you know, don't do things, don't put yourself in that position. You know, but here he's dealing with the spiritual aspect. He's dealing with these Pharisees and others who just aren't getting it. And maybe you have to go and threaten, you know, or put that thought before them that, hey, guys, you could end up in real trouble if you don't straighten up your act, if you don't start really thinking this through.
How timely, you know, just this morning, just a little while ago, we spoke with our friends from Cross Life Ministries and Ambassadors of Reconciliation about the importance of this life of forgiveness. Not only are we forgiven, but to
be forgiving.
To be forgiving, yes. As we are forgiven, to also be forgiving toward others and to reconcile. And is that what Jesus is talking about here? Make things right, settle with him on the way before you end up in prison?
Absolutely, yeah.
I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. You're going to be stuck a long time.
Yeah, and last penny is the same word as is used for a mite. This is the quarter or eighth of a denarii. It's you're going to be there till everything is squared, and you're not going to determine when it is.
Right. It's not our choice. It's not your choice to decide that. Not your decision.
Yeah.
Anything else about chapter 12 that you want to share before we go on to chapter 13?
One thing that I noticed in that last little section, there were three different words used to describe the legal person, and it went from the one who's the magistrate was the first word, I think, and then it was a judge, and then it was like the jailer. It was taking you step by step, you know, if you think, you know, thinking like a Pharisee might think, well, take me before the magistrate. So what? I'll handle that. Yeah, you may handle that, but he's going to send you to the judge. And ultimately, it's going to be the jailer who's going to decide, and you don't want to be there.
Right, and the jailer's the one who's going to put you in prison, throw you in prison, and you're going to be there until you've paid out your debt.
Yep.
All right, chapter 13, the first paragraph, verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish."
You know, when I read this, I thought immediately of Paul's comment that he's the chief of sinners. You know, that as much good as one has done, Paul, I forget where it is, but he made the comment, you know, there is no sinner greater than I. You know, and it's the old adage there, but by the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you have two illustrations here, neither one of which do we today know much about. You know, we've got guesses as to what Pilate had done, and we've got guesses about the tower at Siloam, but really we don't have a lot of information. At least I haven't been able to find much about those two incidents. But the point is very clear. The point that Jesus is making is sin is sin is sin.
What's this talk about mingling, blood mingling with sacrifices?
I'm not sure. I read several commentaries, looked at several different people's thoughts on it, and one of the thoughts is that Pilate may have come in at some time in a show of force and killed some of the Jewish people in the temple or in the temple area where the sacrifices were being offered. And if so, that certainly could have and would have played into why he was such an easy mark for the Pharisees when it comes to saying, "You're no friend of Caesar," you know, relative to Good Friday.
No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Without repentance, there's perishing.
Yes, there's death.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual death.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on that first paragraph? Those are kind of tough. Like you said, the mingling blood with their sacrifices, it's not really clear. We don't know a lot about that, but it does make sense that the scenario that you described makes sense to me.
Well, and the tower at Siloam, again, where was Siloam? Where was this tower? What was it? What happened? Was this a natural disaster, or was this a disaster of man-made proportion? You know, we don't know any of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's guesses, there's ideas, but really nothing solid, nothing that, at least from my study, nothing that I've found that would say this is what happened there. But apparently it was so fresh in the minds of the people that, you know, he could say, "And what about 9/11 and the Twin Towers?"
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. And it immediately would go directly to the mind of the people.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary today, Luke chapter 12, verse 54, through chapter 13, verse 17, with excuse me, with Reverend David Mumm from Concordia Lutheran Church in McChesney Park, Illinois. If you have questions, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we're digging into the text. Shall we press on to the next section, Pastor?
Certainly.
All right. Chapter 13, verse 6 of Luke. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." So we have a barren fig tree and a man with this fig tree that's not producing fruit, and a vine dresser.
Yep. And as I looked at it, first thing I saw was the number 3, which of course is significant in terms of as our God speaks as fulfillment and all of the imagery that goes with the number 3. The second thought that crossed my mind was Peter's words to Jesus, "How many times shall I forgive? 3 times?
Mm-hmm.
No, 7 times 70. Three was complete. So the owner of this tree had waited the appropriate amount of time. If it doesn't produce after 3 years, take it down. And the vine dresser becomes the one who intercedes on behalf of that the tree that has not fulfilled its obligation.
Hmm.
Now, is the vine dresser us as Christians, or is the vine dresser Jesus? I think there's interesting imagery that could be done either way there. If the vine dresser is we as people, as some have suggested, then it's saying to us, you gotta really encourage, be an encourager of the extra mile of really working with that church member who is the CNE, the Christmas Easter person, or maybe not even that, because you don't know when the fruit will bear. You just have to keep working with them little by little. Or if it's Jesus, then it's a much simpler picture, because he was always arguing for continuing the dialogue, continuing the discussion.
Looking,
but there is a limit. You know, we'll give it another year, and the vine dresser says there is a point where, okay, well and good, cut it down.
Looking at the text, I don't know if this is a translation issue or not, but thinking about this now, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, vineyard is where vines are, correct?
Right.
A fig tree is not a vine, is it?
No.
Why is there a fig tree in the vineyard?
Good question.
And why is it a vine dresser taking care of a tree instead of vines? I just caught that. Never noticed that before.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that either. But my guess would be you got lots of things grow in a vineyard. Lots of things grow, you know, unless you do like the American farmer and put all kinds of chemicals down and things like that to make sure that you only get what you want growing, which they didn't have the privilege of back then. You probably had a dozen different types of trees growing in a vineyard.
So here we have a biblical example of biodiversity, is what you're saying?
Could be. Could be. Nature.
He has a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and it came seeking fruit on it, found none. So he says to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now, I've come seeking fruit on the fig tree. There's no fruit. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? Why should it use up resources?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Let me take care of it for one more year, and then if it should bear fruit, great. If not, then you can cut it down."
Yeah, at what point do we in the church say, we're going to remove some names from the membership list because they never come?
Mm-hmm.
Have we done everything? Have we made the effort to make sure that that the ground is as fertile as it can be, that we're laying the opportunity before them? Why are they not there?
The cultivating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The hard work that goes with ministry.
It is a tough question. Here, he says, a year, you know, then, you know, let me work on it for a year. And if it doesn't bear fruit, then fine, you can cut it down. Is a year a year in this setting?
I would think it's figurative.
Hmm. Any other thoughts on this parable of the barren fig tree?
Not really.
Okay.
Again, it is going back to, you know, who's the audience?
Mm-hmm.
And why does he make such an issue of, you know, to bring this out? And I guess one of the questions I have is, Luke always tries to be in an orderly fashion, but you wonder sometimes, did these things take place in this order? You know, if so, he's starting and finishing this little section with the Pharisees, or do we have to expand this section, and is it really toward the disciples, or, you know, who is the target audience? And we aren't really, it isn't really clear at this point.
We are studying the Daily Lectionary, Luke chapter 12, verse 54 through 13, verse 17, with the Reverend David Mum from Concordia Lutheran Church in McChesney Park, Illinois. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll press on and finish out the rest of the text for today. We've got just one more paragraph to work through. And so I hope, listeners, you stick around for the conversation. You can join our conversation as well, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be right back after this break. Stick around for more His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Hi, I'm Andy Bates. This week on Faith and Family, we'll be talking about issues in aging. So join me as we talk with experts and everyday people each weekday at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Teaching the faith, spiritual care, acts of mercy. These describe the work of a deaconess. Your pastor provides you with word and sacrament ministry. Consider a deaconess to aid him through other means of caring for your congregation. Her loving hands can bring Christ's love in specific ways tailored to meet your congregation's needs. You have a need. Consider a deaconess. For more information, please contact your district president.
Millions of years, a contradiction issue. This is Ken Ham, author, speaker, and blogger on the Bible's reliability. Yesterday we learned that trying to insert millions of years into Scripture denies the authority of God's Word. And what's more, accepting millions of years totally contradicts the clear teaching of Scripture. For example, fossil thorns are found in rock layers that secularists believe are millions of years old. But the Bible's clear. Thorns came into existence after Adam's sin. A second example is disease. Fossils that are supposedly millions of years old show evidence of cancer and brain tumors. But that would mean that God called those diseases very good. These and other contradictions aren't consistent with God's character. You see, God's Word teaches disease and suffering came into the world because of sin.
Want to know more about supposed Bible contradictions? Visit our faith-affirming website. Learn why we can trust the Bible at answersingenesis.org.
Welcome back to His Time. We are studying the Daily Lectionary in Luke chapters 12 and 13 today. We're studying with the Reverend David Mum from Concordia Lutheran Church in McChesney Park, Illinois. And we are just about, we just finished the parable of the barren fig. We're ready to press on to verses 10 through the end of the text for today. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because he had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. Pastor, it's the Sabbath day. They're teaching in the synagogue. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. And is it normal to teach in the synagogue on Sabbath?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not out of line. He's teaching in the Sabbath, or teaching in the synagogue on Sabbath, and there's a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. It says she's bent over and could not fully straighten herself. So I'm picturing a woman kind of hunched over, at probably like shoulder level or lower, and Jesus saw her, called her over, and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability."
Yeah, there's a couple of interesting things going on here. One of them is he's at a synagogue, but we don't know where. You know, is this up in Galilee somewhere? Is it, you know, synagogues were the local church. They weren't the temple in Jerusalem. They were where the rubber meets the road. No purple palaces in St. Louis, just a place where, where the actual ministry takes place. Now, the next thing that I find interesting is Luke doesn't speak of this as she had an injury or she had like osteoarthritis or she had some kind of a condition that would cause it. He speaks of it as a disabling spirit.
Hmm.
Luke's a physician, so. You have to think he knows something about what may have been going on here. We have so many people who say, "Well, yeah, you talk about demons and ghosts and things. That's not real. Don't try to tell me that's real." And yet, Scripture over and over again, the demoniac, there's illustrations over and over again of that. Yes. Satan has the power to negatively affect the lives of people, not only in terms of mental, but physical as well.
And so here Jesus says, you are freed from your disability.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that's interesting there is other places, he drives the evil spirit out. Here he simply says, you are free from your disability. So what exactly is Luke, what's the observation here? I think there's some room for more study there.
Mm-hmm. As he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God.
There's your consistency point. Every time when he does something that involves healing, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, they rejoice and give thanks to God, except when you've got the 10 lepers and 9 of them kind of go their own way.
Hmm. But the and so she glorified God, but the ruler of the synagogue was indignant. He's indignant. Why?
Because you're doing something on the Sabbath. You're going beyond the limits of the law. And the synagogue and the rulers of the synagogue, those people were all about the law. Their law, not God's law.
Well, that's what I was just going to get at, because they do things, they do work on the Sabbath, as Jesus points out. They untie their ox or donkey to take him from the manger to water. They walk from, there's a certain a maximum distance you can walk on a Sabbath day, right?
Yeah, unless you're a Pharisee, and then you can follow Jesus from town to town when he's breaking your law.
It's a little bit ironic.
Yeah, yeah.
So the
you'd almost think it was a politician. A little bit ironic.
So the ruler of the synagogue, upset because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he says to the people, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. So he's saying, I don't have a problem with healing, just don't do it on the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
I don't know, kind of, I don't care what you do, just don't do it on the Sabbath.
Yeah, your inconsistency is showing a bit.
And so Jesus responds, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or donkey from the manger and lead it away to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Why does he point out a daughter of Abraham?
Because she's a Jewess. She's of their own nation, of their own people, in the synagogue because she belongs there.
Hmm. And so as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. Final thought, Pastor, with about a minute?
Well, the people who understand, the people who believe, the people in whom the Holy Spirit has worked faith, they rejoice because Jesus was there and he was doing the right things and he helped this woman and everything was good. But those who do not understand, those who are the hypocrites, it didn't make any sense to them. Nothing has changed. Most of the world doesn't, the Bible doesn't make much sense. It's lots of old stories. But to those who believe, it is the living word of the living God for our benefit.
Amen. Well, we've been studying the Daily Lectionary, Luke chapter 13 and 12 and 13, and we've been studying with the Reverend David Mumm from Concordia Lutheran Church in McChesney Park, Illinois. Pastor Mumm, thanks for being our guest on His Time this morning.
Thank you.
God's blessings.
Have a good day.
Thank you to you too. God's blessings to you and all the saints there at Concordia in McChesney Park. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll join together for morning prayer. We'll hear that sermonette from Pastor Mumm as well. So stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.